Hey everybody, I'm Steve Strangio. Welcome to the Strangio Show. This is a very special show because for this show, we're going to be doing a special retrospective of all of my interviews with wrestling's hardcore legend and WWE Hall of Famer, Mr. Mick Foley. And I've been lucky enough to meet with Mick on several occasions. A great guy, a very nice guy, a very intellectual man. He's witty, and he cares about his fans very much. So the very first time I got to interview Mick was for a company called Patch.com, where I did a travel report, and I got to go to a local comedy club. It was Governor's at the Brokerage here in Long Island, and I got to sit down with Mick, watch some of his stand-up comedy, interview him, and find out all about the beginning of his journey into the world of stand-up comedy. And now let's check out the first report I ever did with Mr. Mick Foley. Hey guys, Steve Strangio for Patch.com. Today we're at Governor's Comedy at the Brokerage right here in Belmore, and we're going to be interviewing a man who is known as wrestling's hardcore legend, New York Times best-selling author, and yeah, now even a stand-up comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, Mick Foley. Do you feel that stand-up comedy and wrestling share a lot of the same traits?
I do, and that's why it was frustrating, and still is to some extent, that people don't see how similar they are.
Yeah.
They go, really? You, comedy? I don't get that. I find it's very similar in the sense that you have to always be thinking about material. It's like you're being in the ring without ropes and without the bloodshed.
Now, you're a storyteller.
Right.
Do you feel that that's your biggest comedic strength?
Well, it better be, because I have no punchlines. You know, the stories better be good.
I got chased by a giraffe. The director of the commercial said, hey, we need the giraffe to follow you. Do you think you can get him to follow you with that can of overstuffed beef ravioli? And I said, I don't think so, because giraffes are herbivores. And not likely to crave overstuffed beef ravioli.
Do you feel it's similar to like a set in pro wrestling where you got to get them right away and then tell the story, let the story unfold?
I'd say there is something to that, especially when you're doing a guest set and when you're not in front of an audience familiar with you, like they were
right
tonight.
Yeah.
If they have to get to know you and you only have 5 to 10 minutes to make them, you know, like you and laugh at what you're saying, then yeah, it really is. It is similar to a guy going out there in the independent scene and trying to win over an audience in 10 minutes.
What are the other comics saying to you about your stand-up?
I think they appreciate that I'm taking it seriously.
He's funny, he's an author, and he's a great performer, so
yeah.
He's got a huge head start for most people.
You guys can see that there's a passion and a willingness to learn.
As long as he's up on stage and he keeps working, like he can be very big or very talented stand-up comedian.
I've got about 20 comedy shows under my belt. Like, yeah, I'll be the main event. So throwing Oz and Kazmaier on after Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
Where do you see yourself going with this?
It might lead somewhere, but I'll tell you where it will not lead. It will not lead to my couch in 10 years going, you know, I could have been a comedian.
And you did it. You wanted to do it, and you went out and
gave it a try, and if the breaks don't happen, they don't happen. Somebody said, hey, have you thought about doing a Comedy Central special? And I was like, yeah, I thought about it, but I decided it wasn't for me. Like, of course, you know, these breaks, if they happen to come, are great, but the likelihood is that I'll have to work hard and get my name out there and try to win over people at every stop.
You killed tonight, so excellent job.
You would use the word killed, really?
I would use the word killed. Yes, I would. People were cheering as you were leaving, so that's a good sign. They weren't cheering
because I was.
Mick Foley, ladies and gentlemen. Catch him on YouTube and any other place that you won't see Mick Foley related material.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man. Well, there you go. That was the first time I ever interviewed Mick, and the initial reaction was that here is a man who actually truly cares about what he's doing. He knows that he has to go out there and do the work. He knows that he has to go out there and make sure that he's taken seriously. He also realized that he's just not going to, you know, worry about not knowing how to do it. He's going to learn how to do it, and that's the most impressive thing I felt. I mean, it wasn't really the first time that I met Mick, because I used to work over at WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, when it was known as WWF. I ran and produced and hosted the live shows for what was then known as WWF New York, which is now the Hard Rock in Times Square. And that was the first, you know, time I actually interviewed Mick a couple of times on stage, so we did have kind of a rapport off the bat. But, you know, I mean, you know, by any means, he's just a guy who just wants to go out there and work. And there are some wrestlers out there who are trying stand-up comedy, but that's just what they're doing. They're trying stand-up comedy. Mick actually wants to become, and is right now, a good storyteller on stage, and he is traveling across the country. But much more about that, we'll find out later. But this next thing coming up right now is when Mick actually got a chance to meet a very special fan. And he's very big into charity and helping people out in need. This is during the Hurricane Sandy thing. And he met a young girl who he helped out. She was online waiting for him. And here is a two-part episode about what happened when Mick met a very special fan, also over at Governor's at the Brokerage here in Long Island. Let's check it out. We're going to start here.
Okay.
So you're waiting online for Mick Foley. Tell us more about why you like Mick.
Why I like Mick?
Yeah.
I've watched wrestling since I was a little girl. I know everybody else loves him as Cactus Jack in Mankind, but I remember him most fondly as Commissioner Foley.
Nice.
And I'm actually here to thank him for something incredibly special he did for my family and I. I'm from Long Beach, New York, and my family lost our house in Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, wow.
And he got in contact with me through Twitter, and he donated a huge dining room table and furniture set.
Wow.
For our new house. So I want to just be here and say thank you so much to him. He's incredibly generous and kind. So.
Santa's done a lot of work with Superstorm Sandy. This was a young lady who had lost quite a bit, and it just so happened that we had redone our kitchen. And
you were the recipient.
She was the dining room. She was the dining room.
Yeah.
So she's got the Foley dining room table.
Awesome.
And, very good.
I put a tweet out and I said, like, hey, anyone need a dining room table?
Yeah, I mean, it is condemned, it's done. Our flood insurance says that it's still fixable, and every engineer
right.
that you consult and says, no, it's not, it has to come down. And now, you know, in Long Beach, in all the flood zones, you have to raise it 8 feet in the air.
I know.
And our engineers have said, even if you put it on stilts, the structure will just collapse. Like,
were you down there when we were cooking? At the train?
No.
The second floor of the train station?
No,
I think we served about 12,000.
Yeah, no.
You did an
Thank
amazing
you so
job.
Much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Wouldn't it be something
Wish we could have done more.
Santa served barbecue at my dining room table.
I even had to slay down there.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Did you understand what this...
No!
Alley Cat, but I can't call you Alley Cat. Your first name is
Alex.
Alley.
Yeah.
Alex. Alex has our dining room table.
Oh, nice!
How cool is that?
Do you like it?
I love it. It's gorgeous.
Nice table.
Did your wife pick it out?
She did, like, move to Long Island in 2000.
She has impeccable taste. My mom was just like, oh my God, I love it.
Alex,
yes. Thank you so much, you and your family.
No problem.
Appreciate it. I mean, it's like the months before. before that were so difficult because, you know, it's like you kind of take whatever whatever we had left.
Yeah.
And then we had this, like, little table that my dad had saved from when he first moved out of his parents' house. And then just seeing, I noticed, like, an immediate change even in my family, in my parents. Like,
really?
They smiled more because my
symbol,
mom was
you know,
able to
see
a meal symbol of family meal.
It's a symbol, listen, we. Can I tell you a nice story?
Now, Foley family donate their dinette set. That was very, very cool. So let's flash forward a little bit. And Mick has been out there doing a lot of comedy, finding his character, finding out the type of comedy that he wanted to do. And it's with this interview that we get to discover an epiphany Mick had about his audience, his routine, and the things he wants to say. Let's check out this new interview with Mick Foley. So it's been a while since I've actually seen you do the stand-up, and I gotta tell you, exponentially, it's gotten so much better. Tell us what you did from the first point I met you to now.
I think the biggest difference to me was when you first saw me doing it, I was trying to prove to the world that I wasn't the wrestling guy.
Right.
And then I realized there's nothing wrong with being the wrestling guy.
So I have a wrestler tells wrestling stories for wrestling fans.
I was fortunate, for example, yesterday I went to Governor's and I saw Jay Moore on stage. And Jay is phenomenal. Jay's funnier than I will ever be, and he's got 20 years in. So there's no use trying to out Jay Moore, but I've got cool stories. I've got, you know, memories that people like to hear about, even if they're older stories. They enjoy hearing them again.
Did that hurt? When the Undertaker threw you off the cell.
The biggest difference is I embraced who I was.
Then I realized that I was essentially chasing the people who liked me away. I was kind of like Mick Jagger going on a solo tour and refusing to play Stones. I have no idea if he does that, but I just, no, I don't do wrestling, man. Let's talk about other things. These wrestlings are jumping off points. Talk about other subjects. And nobody was showing up.
Stop running from it. And the moment I became comfortable with that, like you said, the difference was significant.
I better get news when this guy beats CM Punk that he's wearing one of my shirts.
Yeah.
I imagine, not the only guy doing it now, but I imagine once people see that I've had some success, you know, that there will be other people out there telling their tales from wrestling past.
Yeah.
Just not doing it as well as I do.
Now, where can we find you on the web?
Just go to realmickfoley.com. These shows are really coming in. The one nice thing is it's one guy and a microphone.
Yeah.
You know, rental car, hotel room. There's not a lot of overhead, so it's the type of thing where my agent can literally call a club and have an offer the next day, and as long as we can put people in the room, everybody will, you know, works out for everybody.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the Mick Foley comedy special on WWE Network coming up soon. So let's all hope for that. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show. Foley.
Okay, well there you go. Mick finally finding his voice. Finding his audience, finding the type of character he wanted to portray on stage, type of material. And I know for a fact that the reason that he found this was because of hard work. I mean, the man was out there traveling sometimes hours upon hours, and even if there was a small crowd, he would do a full show and then, like, hang out and talk to the people. And that's what's really impressive about how he is approaching stand-up comedy and or on-stage performance, more like a one-man show, interactive Q&A storytelling experience that Mick wants to give to his fans. So finally, that leads us to this last report. This was actually done over at the Eternal Con here in New York on Long Island. We finally got a comic book convention that's big enough to rival the ones in the city, so that's damn cool. Mick came by on a Sunday after his advertised time on a Saturday. He was there on Saturday and then came by the next day. It was Father's Day. I was there with my camera, and I got a chance to talk to him and find out more about what happened with the previous tour and now what's going on with his new tour. Let's check in with Mr. Mick Foley.
I want to continue on with the Tales of Wrestling Past. It seems to be our regular theme with us. Tell me more about how that's grown since we last spoke.
It has ended, Steve. It's
yes.
Now the Hardcore Legend Tour.
Hardcore Legend Tour. Awesome.
The reason I changed the name is so that when I come back to cities, people know it's a different show.
Awesome.
We just did one in Long Island at the Brokerage. It was a completely different show.
Yeah.
We did not have the Exotic Express like WWE did, but we had Santa's Magical Christmas Express, where we had a reindeer and a snowman,
awesome,
and the real Santa and elves, and we just made a great time out of it.
I know you wanted to be a part of Adam Rose's Exotic Express.
Still holding out. Still want a spot of that Express. Yeah. Honestly, I want my family to be on the Express because the chances of us being in the ring together are almost minimal. This is a chance for us to do something as a family.
Yeah.
They don't have to be recognized. They might be like, wait a second. Is that who I think it is? But I don't need a billing. I just want to be part of the Express. I don't think that's too much to ask, being that I am in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes, you are, sir.
Not many Hall of Famers are asking for the free gig.
Yeah, there it is.
To hang out and be part of the show.
Well, you actually are. It is Father's Day as we're taping this, and it must be great hanging out with the kids.
Well, yesterday we had, I don't mean to keep showing off my photos, but
it was
a historic day. It was the Best Friends Reunion.
Oh, there it is.
Me and Al Snow were put aside a decade of bitterness and, I don't want to say hatred, so I'll just say animosity.
Yeah.
And we got together, we had a great time, and a great enough time so when I was asked to return for a few hours on Father's Day, I said, yeah, why not? Because, A, I'm not advertised, so it's going to be a slow day, but I'll make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
More importantly, my kids get to hang out with me on Father's Day
in a
cool atmosphere. We've all been to comic conventions before.
Many times.
You don't have airplanes hanging from the ceiling. Very educational comic book experience.
So it's fun and educational.
And with the family, it's a win-win situation.
Now, if you're walking around, you know, the floor, do you have any favorite superheroes that you might be interested in?
Well, you know what? It's a shame is that my son, we packed up his Captain America outfit.
Okay.
He got a little bit tentative.
All right.
I don't want to say he was scared, but he was trepidatious.
All right.
A very good New York Times number one best-selling author's word. And I assured him that if there was one place he should not feel hesitant to be a superhero, it was here. Right here at Eternal Con. So I'm hoping that he will show up and suit up. I've got the outfit.
Awesome.
Underneath the table.
Okay. And finally, once again, where can we find you on the web?
Oh, at Real Mick Foley. Attention, Sarge!
Sarge the Slaughter just walked by.
I just referred to as a maggot.
Oh, no!
Happy Father's Day!
Yeah.
Thank you. I love you, Sarge. Only in wrestling can you be referred to as a maggot and have it as a compliment.
And they like you, yeah. So Real Mick Foley.
I keep it real, Steve.
Okay.
RealMickFoley.com. Real Mick Foley on Twitter and Facebook.com/RealMickFoley on Facebook, where I am approaching a million likes.
Sweet.
That's not bad.
And finally, what is the next project for Mick? Have we got anything?
The project is the Santa Claus movie. I Am Santa Claus, great documentary. I'm very proud of it. Should be out in November.
Awesome.
And then if the kids aren't around, I can just tell you that.
Yeah.
I'll be a representative. I'll be a helper in December. If you want to know where you can have photos taken with me as a helper, check those other sources. RealMickFoley.com,
awesome.
At RealMickFoley, and Facebook.com, RealMickFoley.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mick Foley. The journey up until now, I mean, he's still out there doing the storytelling, occasionally doing some spots for WWE, and who knows where the next journey is going to be for Mick Foley. God knows I'll be there. You know, every so often I'll contact him and say, hey, Mick, can I come down with my camera? And we'll see where it goes. I just know that it's going to lead him in really interesting directions, and I want to see more. So that's basically it. All right, guys, this has been a very special episode of The Strangio Show. Keep checking back in here for more cool stuff and lots more interviews and stories right here. I'm Steve Strangio for The Strangio Show. Talk to you soon.